December 2018. I'm sorry that I had to bring up the year. You know, sometimes when you bring up a year, people groan. Have you ever noticed that? How did we get here? How did we get to 2018? Well, we're here. 2019 is just around the corner, and that probably means that you, like the rest of us, are thinking about next year. This is the Truth Business Network radio program. This is a product of 99.3 FM and the Truth Business Network, which is a movement of Christian leaders who recognize their need for God and need for each other as we grow to become great Christian leaders and live out our faith and confidence. And today we're actually going to do a whole show kind of on one of those points. We're really going to talk about goal setting. We're talking about it, though, in the context of accountability. Ultimately, we're going to be talking about what accountability really is, because as the Truth Business Network, we believe that we need each other. You know, Christians, Joel. By the way, Joel Smith is in the studio with us. He's a regular co-host. I'm Chris Roloff. Ron Carlson is producing. So, Joel, welcome to the program.
Hey, it's a great day.
I'm supposed to do all that formal stuff, but I just figured we'd get into it.
Sure.
Accountability. When Christians think about this, we think about Colossians scripture, right? Everything that you do in the glory of God, work unto God, is not unto man, right? So I think Christians recognize that we need to be accountable to God. I think we know that. But God knows us better than we know ourselves, and so he put us in the context of human beings. He put us around people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because people are helpful in holding us accountability. So, Joel, you're really the smart guy in the room, and I just love asking questions, and hopefully we can get somewhere. So let's talk about accountability. What is accountability? What kinds of accountability are there?
Well, that's a great question. A lot of people are afraid of accountability because it restricts your freedoms.
That's sure.
Kind of interesting. But I look at accountability really as being, influencing others or being influenced to be responsible for specific results or actions. And so we really are, you mentioned we've got people all around us, and we are responsible to be accountable to other people, because it's not our place to go stepping on toes and crossing boundaries that negatively affect other people around us. So there needs to be boundaries and accountability that protect other people from what, we're capable of when we're left to our own devise. Accountability from a community perspective is kind of that. But within an organization or a workplace, that organization or that company has a direction they want to go. They have goals that they want to achieve. They have a purpose that they need to fulfill.
Right.
And so anybody that kind of comes on board to be a part of that group of people, they're not only accountable just for their action, but they're also accountable for going the same direction or helping the group meet their goals.
Yes.
In the world of Christianity, in our world, we believe as Christians that we're accountable to do the will of God. And so as a group of believers, we need to be moving in that direction together, much like Acts chapter 2, the community of believers. They were all accountable to each other,
right,
with their possessions and with their affections and everything. So I think there's a lot of ways to look at accountability, but I think really it's moving in the direction that we're supposed to be going.
Absolutely. And some of that you're talking about there, I kind of made a note maybe, there's natural accountability in the environment that you live in, right? Some of that is just the fact that we have neighbors, so to speak, whether it's neighbors in the workplace, meaning that we work alongside other people, we're in a family, right? Whatever it is in our church community, there's natural accountability in that way that, I don't want to step on your toes. You don't want to step on, I don't want you to step on my toes, right? I mean, there's a natural accountability that occurs, but I think organizationally within a workplace, most of us recognize that this company, this business, this organization has a goal. Mm-hmm. We're trying to go somewhere. We're trying to go in a particular direction. The will of God for all Christians, that's what we hope to be doing.
Sure.
But God has placed in our hands things that we are responsible for, that we need to be stewards of, whether that's an organization or our individual job. So one of the questions we talked about as we were preparing for this program, and despite what it may sound like, we do prepare a little bit. We talked about this thing, and this can be a no-duh. You said this at the beginning. accountability is very scary for a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. I mean, they resist it. I mean, we don't all seek accountability, somebody to speak into our lives, because it's scary, because it's an outside influence. And I asked you before we went on the broadcast, what is some ways that accountability hurts, maybe in the context of workplace? What are things that you've seen or experienced? What do you think about that?
Sure. Well, you know, you can look at dysfunctional companies or companies that aren't around any longer, or companies or organizations that are poorly managed, and you can see bad examples of accountability. So some people are kind of averse to accountability. They don't like accountability. They run from accountability. And sometimes that's because they got the wrong kind of accountability maybe growing up. Maybe they had too much accountability. Maybe somebody was controlling them and forcing them to be something that they wanted them to be, or whatever it might be. They weren't able to own their own direction.
Right.
So in the workplace, ways that I see this play out is that sometimes people are averse to following systems or order, whatever that might be. And so leadership needs to come up with a better way to help people be more accountable. Sometimes leadership, if it's not true leadership and it just kind of falls back on authority, it relies on things like shaming or you know, whatever, just shaming or coercing or manipulating people.
We talked about accountability. You mentioned this too earlier, but there's things, stick and carrot. That's the thing that we tend to think about, mm-hmm. right? When you want to get somebody to go somewhere, get somebody to do something, you're either going to beat them with a stick or you're going to feed them a carrot, right? This is positive, negative reinforcement. Sometimes when I hear stick and carrot, I just think of that guy riding on the back of a donkey, holding a stick, and there's a carrot out front. But that's only positive, really. That's not what we're talking about. And hurtful accountability is heavy stick, low
right.
carrot, or very fake carrots, right? The reward is a reward that nobody cares about, right? If you meet your sales goals this week, you're going to get a new pack of gum,
right.
A fresh pack of gum, probably classic bubble gum, your favorite, right? Mm-hmm. That is not a real carrot.
Right. So what you're talking about would be externally motivated accountability.
Right.
So somebody else that's putting accountability on you, or you putting accountability on somebody else in the form of sticks and carrots. And by the way, that term, the best I could find, comes from a book called Drive by Daniel Pink.
Mm.
And he talks about there's really three main motivations for people to be driven to do what they do. And that is, sticks, which would be negative consequences, carrots, which would be incentives, positive, and then the third, which would be being inspired, inspired to do something. Now, the
right.
difference between these three is that the first two, sticks and carrots, are externally, driven, externally motivated,
right.
and the third one, drive, is internal. And that's a key thing to think about. And any leader that wants their people to shine and to reach a level of responsibility needs to graduate from the sticks and carrots to help people develop their internal drive.
Yeah.
Because if you just rely on sticks and carrots, you're going to be like herding cats. That's all you're going to do. Because, the cats aren't going to, they don't want to go the same direction as you. They have their own independent way. And
right.
so if it's just sticks and carrots, we're going to struggle with that. And really that falls in the category of management, not leadership.
Mm.
When you want to inspire people, that's where leadership kicks in.
And I think what you just said though is really at the heart of why people cringe when they hear the phrase accountability, isn't mm-hmm. it? Because accountability most of the time sounds like either I'm receiving accountability, which is sticks and carrots, or I have to give it out. And giving out sticks and carrots isn't always really exciting. You want to say, well, if you do this thing, I'm going to give you this reward or whatever it is. But it can feel shallow. Mm-hmm. As a leader, as a motivator, you can think, I don't even know if this is something they really want. Sticks are very difficult because you've got to come down on them, or you've got to be stern, and that's not mm-hmm. really fun either. And so accountability, no matter if you're holding someone else accountable or being held accountable externally, it's not enjoyable for folks. And that's not, I think, just because, now maybe I'm wrong, I don't think it's entirely because we don't want to be transparent. although that's some of it, right? Sometimes we want to hide. Sometimes we want to put a mask on. But I'm gonna give our listener the benefit of the doubt that they want to be authentic. They want to be the best that they can be. They want to be a great for God, good stewards of what they want. So that's not what's holding them back, right? It's not what's holding me back is that I'm not afraid of people knowing who I am. But I think if we live in the world of sticks and carrots when it comes to accountability, that's where it gets exhausting.
Sure. Well, and some people just naturally will kind of start to graduate from that, and they don't appreciate being in an environment where they have to be, where they, you know, where they're trying to be bribed by, you know, by incentives.
Right.
Sometimes people kind of, they mature past that, and they need something more than that. Like, you know, you don't need to threaten me. You don't need to give me a big write-up and, you know, evaluation. I kind of know where I'm at. And you don't have to have a bunch of financial incentives in place. I'm going to do my best anyway.
Right.
But there is still there's still accountability that needs to be in place, and that external accountability starts to be replaced by internal. You know, it's like, hey, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do my best because that's what I believe in.
Right.
That's what I'm passionate about. I believe it's my duty to do my best. I believe I owe it to my employer, my organization. I owe it to God. I owe it to our community to give them my best.
Right.
That's kind of a place of maturity when a person can be accountable to themselves first, and then accountable to their organization or their environment second.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head. Maturity is really where a lot of this comes down to, even if it's a responding positively to external communication. But you said this before we went on the air today. There's a difference in keeping a 7-year-old accountable or motivated than a 17-year-old accountable and motivated. There's a difference.
Usually.
Or a 27-year-old or a 37-year-old, yeah, or a 50. Right? There's a difference, and that isn't just age, but it's really about experience. It's really about drive. It's really about being in a place where you take stock of who you are and what it is that you want. You know, not every one of us get to do the job that we love. Not every person is not working in the environment that they love to go to every day. Mm-hmm. So we're here talking in the radio, and people think, well, gosh, it must be nice for you to sit in your little happy little radio station and talk about being internally motivated, but I hate my job. you know, Ron can relate to that, our producer here. No, there is something, though, that we can hold on to. What is it that gets us out of bed? What is it that gets us motivated, and being honest about that? How important is that?
I think it's really important. I think it's the difference between, you know, having a job and having a career, or having, you know, a place that you go to work where you're expected to comply, you know, or compliance is expected versus engagement. You know, if you can be engaged in the organization or whatever it is that you're doing, that you're moving forward, you can be engaged in it and be a part of it and have some decision making in it and feel like you're part of it. That's a key part of that. You it's going to take very little accountability for you to perform well and to be motivated to do well. If you're not interested in being engaged in that and you just kind of want to go and do as little as you have to and get as much as you can, then you really rely on compliance. So I'm really all about the buy-in, helping people to buy into whatever it is, the vision or the mission that the organization is doing. When that happens, when the buy-in grows, the accountability doesn't need to be there as heavily, or it's less accountability is required.
Yeah, you talked about this in your company. I mean, you own multiple restaurants, the Papa Murphy's restaurants around here in the Des Moines listening area, mm-hmm, as opposed to viewing area. I always tease you about that. But here in the Des Moines metro area, and you've got a lot of people that work for you, mm-hmm, and this has been a passion of yours, to get folks to buy into the vision and the goals of the company.
Mm-hmm.
How have you seen that been successful?
Well, I think people need to know that your vision is not about you. That's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if my intentions or my why that I have for my company is self-serving, or other people will definitely see that. And they're going to adopt the same kind of a philosophy. It'll be self-serving. And anytime you get an organization of a bunch of self-serving people, you're really not going to have any kind of unity or any kind of... And so it starts at the top. You know, if we're doing this because we want to take a group of people to a great place, or we want to accomplish a great thing that's going to affect people and help people get to a better place, or help people have a better product, or solve a problem, or relieve a burden, whatever that might be, and you get other people to believe that you're doing something great for a great cause, and it's not simply for selfish gain, you're going to get a lot more interest. People are going to be a lot more interested in going where you're going.
Right. Well, that, man, I tell you what, my mind is reeling with people who are in different situations. You know, it's hard to talk about these issues, I find, because you and I, Joel, we can talk about these things from our experiences and where we sit. But I know a lot of people that listen to the radio today or listening to this program are thinking, this is my situation. And there's a lot of different kinds of situations. If you're in a dead end job that you're not excited about, that sounds all great and good, but how do I get motivated? You might work for a company where you have company buy-in, where you believe in the mission of the organization, and you can tell that the people all the way at the top really care about what they're doing or the service that they're providing. It may not be at the top. If you work for a really large company, some, you know, CEO way up, you know, three states away, you don't know what motivates that person. But in your department or in your area, right, you might say, we buy into what we're doing and serving our customers and going in and loving the people that are around us. And I think that is a great place to start, is really having an excitement for what God has called you to do, whatever that job is. You know, you talk about being a garbage man or being the CEO of a major corporation, whatever it is, just a joy and an excitement to go to work. How many of us say, I used to do this, I have to go to work today? We can, with real accountability, intrinsic self-motivation, we can say, I get to go. Today, you're listening to 99.3 FM. We're going to talk about accountability, goal setting a little bit for 2019 with Joel Smith when we come back. Thank you for listening. This is 99.3 FM, The Truth. I'm Chris Roloff. In studio with me is Joel Smith. This radio program is being produced by Ron Carlson. This is the Truth Business Network radio broadcast. It is a product of the Truth Business Network, which is a group of Christian leaders who recognize their need for God and need for each other as we're equipped to become great Christian leaders and live out our faith with confidence. You know, there are men and women throughout central Iowa who work every day, and they want to make a great impact. And that great impact is different for each person, Joel. And today we're talking about accountability and how accountability plays an integral role in our future. And we talked about this in the first segment. Sometimes people hear this. They hear the word accountability, and they immediately go, nope, don't want that. I had a guy who held me accountable, and he was just a terrible person, or he just criticized me all the time. Or I've got a boss that, quote, hold me accountable. It really just kind of beats me up. But then other people know friends and coworkers and employers that are fantastic leaders that really inspire greatness from us. We talked a little bit about, I think in the first segment, Joel, about the difference maybe graduating from a stick and carrot form of accountability that is 100% external. I mean, it's hard to do stick and carrot to yourself. You could do it. You can. I think it's hard. Would you agree with that, or am I wrong? You think stick and carrot is hard to do to yourself?
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there can be an element of that, of course, giving yourself small rewards for accomplishments and, you know, and so on. There's some of that. But you're right. Usually sticks and carrots refer to external, you know, motivations coming at you with somebody holding you accountable or giving you affirmation for a good job done, that type of thing.
Right, right. And we talked maybe that now we need to think about accountability and goal setting. So we talked about this. This is December, right? This is the end of the year. A lot of people are thinking about, they may have already made their plans for 2019. And so if you've already made your professional, personal plans for 2019, great. But how are you going to accomplish those, right? New Year's resolutions always fail, is what they say, and all that kind of stuff. And why do they not work? And it's lack of accountability would be my would be my argument. So we're trying to talk about this to encourage myself, really, to get some accountability. I want some. And I know that I sit in the camp, Joel, that is afraid of accountability because it seems to always be sticks and carrots. And what's exciting me about this broadcast and about this conversation is I hope that I can encourage others, that you can encourage others the same way that we can move and graduate from sticks and carrots to real internal motivation of accountability, where we start to look at our passions, our wants, our desires, our drives. What is it that gets us motivated? And we begin to feed that and hang out with and spend time around people that are going to inspire us to do that.
Sure. You know, so going back to the idea that people kind of are averse to accountability, part of that comes from really a kind of a whole misconception of freedom. So a lot of people believe that being under, you know, within the realms of accountability is actually restrictive. It's when your freedoms are being taken away. But really, that's the wrong way to look at it. See, if you are a rule follower and you are a person that measures up to accountability, you want to do that, you actually earn a great deal of freedom because of that. Think about it. There's not, you know, rule followers don't go to jail, right? And
right,
so when you don't follow the rules or you do not want to be accountable, that's actually when you lose your freedoms. You know, you don't get the rewards that you could be. And actually, when you rebel against accountability or you kind of go and do your own thing and without being restrained, any kind of restraint in place, that's when you lose your freedoms. You know, when you go kind of just take and do what you want and you're not accountable, that's when you lose your, when you cross those boundaries and you take from other people, you lose your freedoms that way. So we buy into this, you know, this whole paradox of freedom. And so that's part of the problem. That's why accountability is necessary, because that's not what people want. People want their freedom to do as they like. And so accountability on an external place tries to get people or influence people to stay within the bounds so that we can actually have freedom as an organization.
Right.
So, and so to get to that place of internal, accountability, though, you have to flip that. That has to switch. You have to understand that there really is a freedom of being accountable. When you are accountable to other people and you are driven to succeed in that way, you really do get a great freedom. And, you know, think about debt. Think about a credit card.
Right.
You know, people that have a credit card feel this freedom to spend whatever they want. But then they end up in slavery because they end up with a big debt.
Right.
Somebody else, though, with a credit card but has accountability and self-discipline to say no to that, they enjoy a freedom financially going forward because they don't have debt to deal with. In fact, they might even go a little further than that and put money away, and that even buys them more freedom down the road. But
right.
You have to restrain yourself first to get freedom second. And so that's part of accountability.
It is part of accountability, and I think it's the part of accountability that probably shocks people the most because, like you said, it's the thing that sounds counterintuitive. I mean, you think rules and following the rules and having systems and doing all that kind of stuff, that would produce fruit for me seems kind of strange. I liken it a lot to my favorite hobby, which is actually board games. And some people can relate to this in terms of sports. So I'll talk about sports because it's socially acceptable to like football. So, you know, if you just handed a bunch of people a ball and put them in the middle of a field and said, okay, play.
Try to win.
They wouldn't know what winning is. They wouldn't know what losing is. They wouldn't have the rules, and there'd be fighting and chaos and injury and whatever. And some people just wouldn't do anything.
Right.
Because they'd just be completely confused. But instead, with all the rules, and football has a lot of rules, man. And I am a low-end knowledge person when it comes to football. And I can't tell you, I think maybe not every time, but every other time I watch a football game, I learn about a new rule in football that I didn't know. NFL-wise, you know, there's a foul on something. I didn't even know you couldn't do that. I didn't know you couldn't grab somebody's helmet and rip it off their head. I mean, you know, the first time you think about that as a rule.
I think you used to be able to do that.
Right, and rules are changing all the time. Maybe that's why players do it. But those rules, even the out of bounds, you know, they give us guides. They tell us where we need to go. And I think people get that when they think about sports, but how do we relate that to our lives is it's okay to have systems in place. It's okay to have personal accountability. I'm going to make these commitments. You and I joked about this. There's a video that came up. If you want to change the world, you got to start by making your bed. Many people have probably heard this.
That's a military guy, wasn't it?
It was a military guy giving a commencement speech at a graduation, I believe, and that's how he started it. And it circulated in the internet there for a while. And you don't make your bed, though, Joel.
Not usually, no.
Yeah, and why is that?
I don't know. It may be a mixture between a little bit of laziness. No one else is going to see it, and that's where the accountability comes in.
Right.
Now, I'll tell you, though.
I put you on the spot. Sorry about that.
If I was going to show my house, you know, an open house or something, I would make my bed because there's a sense of accountability there.
Right.
People are going to see my bedroom, so I got to make my bed. But
right.
As long as there's no accountability, I'm going to let it all hang out.
Yeah. Well, and I tease because how many people really make their beds? But I think that the point of even that video and the point of a lot of things that I've learned from you, Joel, and what our listeners have learned from you throughout these series of broadcasts, I think is really that making a plan, following a plan, having a system, saying yes to things and saying no to things is really at the heart of getting what we want.
Sure.
Of getting where we want to go. Mm-hmm. We have goals set up. And so if you're inspired to get something, so maybe that there's that first step. What is it that motivates you? What is your drive? What are the things you want to accomplish? What are the things that you want to see happen? You have to have that, mm-hmm. right? But then once we say, okay, I want this, whatever that is, we can't get there without a roadmap, without a system, without mm-hmm. without rules, and without then following those.
Sure.
And in the almost blindly following those rules, I think we get where we want to go. Is that fair, Joel?
Yeah, I think so. You know, a lot of the world buys into, and this isn't a bad thing. I'm not saying I don't buy into it, but a lot of the world buys into the SMART goals. And
what is a SMART goal?
The SMART goals.
So, I'm going to make you Google that. So,
yeah.
See, I was thinking about, go ahead and keep looking for the SMART goals.
I got it.
So there's also a dream board thing, and maybe we can talk about mm-hmm, that.
Sure.
What are SMART goals?
So SMART goals are specific goals, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound.
Okay.
And that's, you know, this has been around for a little while, and it's just kind of SMART goals is kind of one of the buzzwords that goes around. And I agree with all of those, except these are all kind of a way to coerce yourself into a certain behavior that you want to have. And that's okay. Sometimes we need that. I wrote a blog, and you'll have to hear me out because I don't want a bunch of people rebelling against me because I say this, because it's not necessarily politically correct, I guess. But so I wrote a blog, and basically the title of it is Setting Goals is Ineffective.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
That'll get your attention.
Yeah. So a lot of people might be thinking, wait a minute, I set goals all the time. You know, and it's not really that setting goals is truly ineffective, but setting goals without a vision truly is ineffective.
Mm.
So here's the thing. There's too many people that will set goals because they want to change their behavior. They want to be different. And so they'll set goals. And usually goals are to do something different than what you've been doing. So you're changing a behavior. And so goals are about what not to do. I can't eat the Twinkie anymore. I can't just sit around my sofa. I need to get out and exercise whatever the key is, or whatever financial goals. I can't spend my money on this, or I can't do that. I can't do that. So sometimes SMART goals has to do with restraint, you know, restraining you from something. But here's the thing. Let's just say you want to, you know, get healthy and you want to lose 30 pounds or whatever. And so you make your goal, you know, I want to lose 30 pounds and get healthy. If you're just setting your SMART goals, you're really going to be focusing on the problem a lot. You're going to be focusing on what you can't do. And that's a problem. If you love Twinkies and you can't have a Twinkie, that somehow becomes a problem, but you got to somehow force yourself to do it anyway.
Right.
And so you're making these goals and you're trying to follow these rules that you've put upon yourself in order to accomplish something. And you give up because at some point you forget why you're doing it. You're just following these rules. But here's the opposite side. Let's say you don't have goals, but you have an incredible vision. So an incredible vision would be, instead of a goal of losing 30 pounds, your vision is being healthy. And so every day you wake up and you think about what it's like to be healthy. You think about the freedom you get from having more energy and feeling better and sleeping less and just being able to all of the possibilities and the opportunities that that provides from that vision that you have. If you have a great vision and you revisit that vision every day, you don't need a lot of goals in between to motivate you. In fact, this whole idea of goals is somewhat new. I don't think in the 60s or the 50s people were talking about SMART goals, but I do think there were people with high visions. There were visionary people that had burdens that they wanted to accomplish, things that they wanted to do. They wanted to cure diseases and, you know, conquer wars, you know, and do great things for humanity that were driven by a vision, but not necessarily a lot of goals. Not that they didn't have some goals in between. That was really important. But really, I think we need to have the vision, our destination of where we want to get to. That needs to be first and foremost. And then we figure out our goals, which would be the steps on how to get there. Think of the goals as the rungs in a ladder. But rungs in a ladder don't help you if your ladder isn't leaned up against something that's worthy.
Right.
And you don't keep that vision, you know.
I think that is really helpful and incredibly profound. And I think that right now in my personal life, I've got some folks that are influencing me and encouraging me to think about a dream board for that very same reason. Mm-hmm. You've heard this term. A dream board is an idea where you take pictures that represent things you want to accomplish or things you want to do, and you literally get pictures of them or take pictures of those things, and you put them on a board or something like that, or you just make a digital image of them and you look at that on a regular basis and say, I want to do this, right? So something that's on my dream board is I want to go to Germany. Mm-hmm. I was actually born in Germany. A lot of people may not know that. Why would you? I was actually born there, and I'd love to go back and actually visit Germany as an adult so that I can go and experience it, see the town that I was born in. Germany is a wonderful place, but how am I going to get there, right? Well, I'll figure that out if I'm really serious about mm-hmm. going there. So the steps that it's going to take for me to get from here to there, I'll figure out if I'm really driven to get that. And that's the difference maybe between goals and vision. And that requires accountability. We're going to continue to talk about accountability's role in your future as you think about 2019 and what God is calling you to do. This is the Truth Business Network on 99.3 FM. Man, I love that song. I want to be in the light as you are in the light. You know, the Bible tells us that we are not to be like our light under a bushel. We are to be a city on a hill, right? We are to be a shining beacon in the world around us. I don't know how many of you get your hard-hitting morning news from the Today Show, but I occasionally do watch the Today Show. I'm just telling you, if Hoda says it, I believe it. You know what I mean? And this is Chris Roloff here in 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is the Truth Business Network radio program. We are a Christian-focused, business-focused radio broadcast. We talk about things. We talk about personal development. We talk about leadership because we believe that Christian leaders need God and we need each other. And today's broadcast is really about that need to be accountability, need to have accountability one with another. But we talked about the difference, and I think what's really exciting is we talk about accountability, and I have to bring us back to what we're not saying. Many times we hear accountability, we think sticks and carrots. What we're really talking about is accountability to the vision, the God-given vision that has been placed in your heart, that God has called you to do something. You have a real passion and a drive, and you ought not be ashamed of whatever that thing is, right? And being driven to accomplish that. And the job that you have is a part of that puzzle. It's a part of your God-given purpose on this planet to do what God has placed in your hands, because you may have a vision for what you want to be doing or experience or have or whatever, but God has put things in your hand. And so the things that God has put in your hands very well may be the things he wants you to use to get where he has called you to go. And so we don't despise the things that are in our hands, the things that are in front of us, that which we are responsible for right now. But we do want to look past that. God's word reminds us that without vision, people perish. Joel, you and I were talking about that a little bit. And I said just before we went to the break that there's this thing that's kind of popular. It's been popular, I think, for a while now, but these things called dream boards. I think some Christians kind of balk at these things. They think they're just filled with riddled with selfish greed, and you know, I want a Maserati, and I want to look like this.
Fantasies.
And I
want to
have it. It's all fantasies, and it's all crazy. And I told you, Joel, that on my dream board, one of the things that's on there is I want to go to Germany. And part of the reason I want to go to Germany is because Germany is the place I was born, and it's a really kind of cool place. It has older things. You know, America hasn't been a country very long, so we're going to have a lot of really old things. We've got castles in Germany, and I'd love to do a castle tour throughout Germany and things like that. And you laughed at me because I actually wrote down on my paper the thing that I thought I wouldn't share with the radio audience, but I'm going to do it anyway.
I was going to bring it up.
I know, so I'm going to do it. It's right. Because I'm the fat kid. So
on
the,
your terms.
The fat kid knows that you always got to make the fat joke first. Because if you make the fat joke first, then you're in control of it, right?
Yep.
So I'm going to let it out of the bag. I wrote down, one of the things is I want to be a wizard. Now everybody goes, wait a minute, Chris, are you one of these, like, you think you can become a transgendered, you know, hyperbole, whatever? I don't mean it in whatever you think I mean, okay? What I mean is I want to be a wizard. And when you imagine a wizard, I want you to think about Gandalf. And what does it take to be Gandalf? What's required for an individual to be like Gandalf? There's a lot of things. And you have to be a complete and utter nerd like me to know what that means. So we're just going to set that aside before, and you can judge me, and you can laugh at me, and you can think that kind of stuff. That doesn't mean...
they will.
That doesn't mean that I'm following not hard after God.
Sure.
I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ has called us in his word to do great and mighty things. And I mean a wizard on my terms, not on the world's terms. So it's completely different. But one of the things that a wizard would do is he would go on a walking tour of castles throughout Germany. I believe that. And so that's a part of it. That's kind of what I mean. Like, really get a vision for it. Expand your ability to see it, because that sounds awesome, doesn't it? I mean, that sounds awesome, but what's it going to take for me to do that? In fact, this is way too in the weeds, but I was driving with my girls. They were both in the car, and I told them this. I said, I want to go to Germany. And they said, really? I said, yeah, I want to go to Germany. And I said, you know, I could go right now. I could leave right now, drive in this car, go to the airport, hand them a credit card, and say, I'd like to take the next flight to Germany. How do I do that? And from the Des Moines International Airport, I could get to Germany. It's possible. And I said, but why would that be bad? There's a lot of reasons it would be bad right now. I'm not prepared. No one would know I'm going. And what would you two girls do? They were in the car with me. So there are first steps.
Wait. You would leave them behind?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
Oh, gotcha. All right.
they're not going to go. No, I'm kidding. Obviously, I would take my whole family with me. But that, when you have a real vision for something, this is the point.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need sticks and carrots anymore.
Right.
You don't need...
You're driven.
You're driven. Yep. You're passionate about something. You know that you want to get there. You know what you want to accomplish.
Right.
And nothing really stops us from doing that. We can boil this down to the simplest thing. When you got to go to the bathroom, you got to go to the bathroom. When you want to eat, you want to eat. And really, very few things get in the way of those, right? Those things, because they're inside, there's a real drive that moves you. And
no one needs to talk you into doing those things, usually.
Usually not.
You don't have to have external motivation in order to do the things that are going to come natural.
Yeah, right. And so that's what account. And we need. So here's my question here, and we have a few more minutes together, Joel. So here's my challenge for you, because you're a smart guy. So if real accountability comes from my internal motivations, that thing, that vision that I've cast, that vision that I can see, that I can drive towards, and I'm going to get things done now in order to get where I want to be. How do I incorporate some external accountability into that kind of thing? Because I still think that's needed. Don't you agree?
Sure. So you're talking about developing that vision. So turning a dream into a vision, and how do you get help to accomplish that?
How do I get help to do that? Yeah.
Well, first of all, I firmly believe that you really can't create any kind of an effective vision without external help. Now, it doesn't necessarily need to be sticks and carrots. Sometimes it can just be flat-out accountability. It can be your best friend that's encouraging you to continue to seek your dreams. It can be a paid life coach or a leadership coach that you pay to help you break down the barriers that keep you from doing what you want to do or developing a dream. It can be a mentor that helps you with maybe the experience of where they've been in the past, and they can share with you some of the things that they went through, so you can relate to that and kind of follow suit. There's a lot of ways. There's accountability group partners. You know, I've had people in my life that I get together with that will ask me the tough questions that I have to be accountable to, And the reason why it's effective is because I've invited them to do so. And that's the key. Accountability, if it's going to be effective, has to be invited. The kind of scary accountability is the kind you don't invite into your life, but people kind of put it in your life. It could be a boss or a police officer or whatever it is.
Right, right. That is unwanted accountability at that point, yeah.
But I think a lot of it is that we invite people to help create guardrails for us. Because I don't want to spin out of control and lose out on my vision or my dream. I want to stay focused on that. And the truth is just sometimes I just need help with that. I need somebody to grab my head and point it in the right direction and give me a push to help motivate me to get there. And we really can't. It would be one extraordinary person that can do that by themselves. And apart from Christ, I don't know who that would be.
Absolutely. Well, and I think some of it is that scary word that we talked about at the early part of the broadcast. And some of that is transparency, right? Some of that is being honest and willing to say, hey, this is what I want to do. And let it be okay. If people think it's weird or they think it's crazy, you know, I mean, obviously within reason, safety and safety of others, right? Things like that. But anyway, I think letting people know, hey, these are the things I want to do. And watching them get excited about it. I mean, right. Joel, let's be honest. Wouldn't you like to know a wizard? But we'll talk about that another time. But I mean, you know, you think about that. If I want to go to Germany, you can see that would be cool. And you'd love to know. Wouldn't you like to know that in 5 years from now, you could be looking at pictures of me in Germany? I know you would get
that
excited
would be cool.
about that.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that be cool? And I think that's part of it. That's, you know, sharing what we're excited about with other people makes it real.
Yeah, that's part of the transparency. And transparency is really important when it comes to accountability. I mean, think about it. Just the whole idea of being exposed, that in itself is a form of accountability. You know, here comes the theme song.
There's the theme song. Joel, this has been fantastic. I've really enjoyed this. Hey, you know what? Coming up next, Carl Schaphorst, iowasalestraining.net. Stick around. Thanks for listening to 99.3 FM, The Truth. This is The Truth Business Network. We'll see you on Wednesday. This is 99.3 FM, and you're listening to The Truth Business Network radio program. I'm Chris Roloff in the studio with us. Today is also Carl Schaphorst with Sandler Sales Training. But here's the deal, Carl. I enjoy having you with us on this radio program as we end every week, but I got to push back on you. I've looked at your material. I've even gone to a class or two. But I have to ask this question. I've done sales training, other sales training before, but it doesn't seem to really work. So what does it really take for sales training to work, Carl?
Oh, it's a good question. I wish I had the silver bullet that would answer that clearly and concisely. But, you know, when people come into the training program, and whether it's mine or anyone else's for that matter, it's not a one-dimensional challenge. You know, when I do training, we teach the Sandler system, and there's a lot of technical what to do's, what to say's, how to behave when you're in the midst of the call so that you can have a good outcome. But it's not just a technical issue. There are other issues that are involved. There's behavioral issues, which we really can't control. As a trainer, as soon as the training is done, I send people off, and what they do with it is completely up to them. It's not like I'm going to be going with them every day and making sure they do what we've trained. The behavior piece is important. Let me give an example. I could train someone up, and they could be the world's greatest sales technician. But Chris, if they never pick up the phone to do a prospecting call and to set an appointment, what value does the technical aspect of the training have? And so there are some behavioral things. When I talk about behavior in the world of sales, I'm talking about the behaviors that generate top line revenue. Behaviors like prospecting, like asking for referrals, like going to networking events, It's all the stuff that most salespeople don't want to do, me included, but you have to do because that's how you create opportunities to use the technical system to drive sales. There's another dimension. So I've mentioned technique. I've mentioned behavior. But maybe the most important piece is our attitude. Our attitude that we have about ourselves, the attitude that we have about the company we work for, the attitude that we have about the economy we live in. I mean, if the economy is tough and you think there's no way you can make a sale and that's your belief system, well, goodness, that's gonna squash a lot of the behavior you need to be doing in order to have success. And so we define success at Sandler really as those three elements. It's a behavioral issue, it's a technical issue, and most importantly, it's an attitude issue. One thing I like about how we define success, not as the world defines it, because I think if you look at the world, they define it as kind of an elitist group. Mm-hmm. You're born into it, you win the lottery, you get lucky, something right. like that. You have no control over it, really. I think the enemy wants us to believe that that's what success is, because if you buy into that belief system, then guess what? You won't even try to pursue it. You'll just give up, and you'll end up being status quo and average, and you won't really experience what success is. The way we define success at Sandler, a technique, a behavior, and an attitude, all three of those elements are 100% in the control of the individual. If you believe that's true, that means success is 100% completely up to us. We choose if we want to have success. Everyone, every single one of us can have success. You have to have training. You have to have a special technique. You have to have a special knowledge on how to do something. You have to move. You can't just sit around. You got to move. And that's the heavy lifting. That's a lot of hard work. And then you have to have an attitude of, well, I'm going to take some risk. It's not always fun. I mean, who likes to make a cold call? I mean, who wants to pick up a call?
No one.
And face potential rejection. But yet you have to do that. And your attitude needs to be, look, I got to do it. I'm going to push through it. I don't have to like it. I'm just going to do it. And then if all three of those things come together, we experience success. And what's interesting about success, Chris, is that it's not a bank account. It's not a street address. It's really how we feel at the end of every day.
Carl Schaphorst is our guest. Get the sales training you need to become a professional salesperson. Go to iowasalestraining.net.